Right, Sunday morning, 1:12:25, we're going to have a teaching called Taking God at His Word. In our world, we take people at their word all the time. Some do not keep their word, but most do. How come it seems to be so hard for us to just take Jesus at His word and act accordingly? That's what we're going to look at today. It's kind of like it goes along with the prayers and the tears. It's a memorial that God, like Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. All right, Luke, we're going to start in Luke 17. We may forget, but God does not. 17:11. As it came to pass, as we went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Excuse me. Let me clear my throat. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he said, he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God or glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus said that the greatest faith that there was by someone that understood authority. We're going to look at that for a minute. This is Matthew chapter 8. Start with verse 1 there. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they were brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses by the use of authority. The centurion understood authority. Peter's mother-in-law just simply acted on Jesus' word. She got up out of the bed and acted on his word. Okay, let's keep going here. Luke 7. Now when he had ended, verse 1, all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him they would come and heal his servant. And when they came, Jesus is a different account. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, troubleth not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Here's what it means, authority. Privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom or mastery, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, or delegated influence. We use Jesus' name pretty flippantly, but we should never do so again. Father has delegated the power of Jesus' name to us to use, just like Jesus did when he was here. So when we say something in Jesus' name, we are saying Father's name. Father's name. We know that Jesus had power, but do we really realize that same power that Jesus had that raised him from the dead dwells in us? Okay, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power. You could say authority. Same thing. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, or you could say authority, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, it goes without saying, it goes with the territory of being a child of God. Authority and power over the devil. Right here, this is in the Strong's tread. It means to literally or physically trample. That's what it means. It reminded me, one time Jackie was talking about she wanted a donkey, and she said, I've seen a donkey trample a rattlesnake. They're fearless little creatures. They'll run over there and they'll stamp that snake right into the dust. Ain't nothing left. Fearless. That's the way we should be, like a little donkey. Okay, look at some more scriptures in Luke here. Luke 4:36. And I know when they were, I forget where these fires were, but there was a donkey that led all the animals out of the barn to safety. A donkey. Fearless little creatures. All right, 4:36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this, for with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. When people get a hold of the fact, what happened to Scott? I'm telling you, those kind of things, power and authority, following the Spirit, and he just tells you to pray over this, or do this, or say that. They're going to flock, because people are desperate, and they are in sad, sad situations. Come across them all the time. I mean, we think we got it hard, because we are being proved and walking through hard places, but I'm telling you, when you are without God and no hope, You don't get any worse than that. We have hope. All right, Luke 9, 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's the Great Commission. I've always said, and I do believe it, that healing is God's calling card. The goodness of God leads men towards repentance. It's a lot easier when somebody's dying and they're in sincere pain or whatever, and you lay hands on them and they get healed, they're going to say, I want what you got. We know God has authority and power. We know Jesus has authority and power, but what about us? Do we really know the authority and power that has been bestowed upon us? I don't think we do. We doubt ourselves so much. We beat ourselves up so much. We blame ourselves whenever God is not doing it. God's not blaming. God's not blaming. It's the enemy that blames. It's the enemy that gets you thinking that way and thinking you're not worthy and God's not going to do nothing for you. That's a lie. You know why he does that? Because he knows you have power to kick his butt. I'm talking in the name of Jesus, not in your own power. Okay. Go to Luke 24. Sure, he's going to tell you that. Sure, he's going to try to crush you down to where you can't even raise your head above water. He's going to buffet you so that you feel like you can't put one foot in front of another. He knows about that power. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then Acts 1:8, right here. He told them, don't do anything until. But ye shall receive power. Verse 8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's why they were tarrying in Jerusalem. They were waiting for the power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So he's saying, don't do nothing. You don't have power to do anything. But when the Holy Ghost comes on you, all heaven's at your disposal and authority. Now, I don't mean you just like a loose cannon. You're led by the Spirit in it. Jesus was led by the Spirit in it. He didn't just do stuff. He said, the Father in me is doing the works. Father was giving him instructions. Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Oh, God doesn't do evil. Well, he led his son into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And that was evil. But God didn't do the evil. He allowed the devil to do it. Okay. A Christian that is not baptized in the Holy Spirit does not have the power. The power within is the key. The Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. He is the power behind all the things we see in the scriptures about Jesus after Jesus went back. He is the supply of the power that God has given us to be successful and maintain the victory. Let's go to Acts 3. In this instance, these authorities here, these leaders, observed that they'd been with Jesus. Why? They started acting like Jesus. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the temple gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Let me just preface this here. There's a reason the church uses witchcraft to get well. They don't have that power. And if they do, they don't know how to use it. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let me see how far. All right, we'll stop there. It's hard enough being a Christian, but to be a Christian without power, you have no hope. The Holy Spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the helper. He's the friend. He's the one that Jesus said, when I leave, I'm sending a comforter, someone that'll lead and guide you into all truth, show you things to come. The friend that sticks closer than a brother. The one that helps you with your infirmities. He's with you all the time to help you in whatever avenue that you need help in. Okay, Colossians 1:27. Yes, there is. I'm just not, well, I've been up since pretty early. Let's just say that. Thank you, Jesus. 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, go back to Acts now. Acts 4:7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name hath ye done this? They demanded right here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if ye this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. The book of Acts is not the Acts of man, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Spirit within. Verse 33 of Acts 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We can operate the same way Jesus operated. Acts 10:38, everybody knows that scripture. That's one of those classic ones that a lot of people know. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It wasn't just for Jesus, it was for us to also follow it. Okay, go with me to Romans This is Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 6 here. I think it's chapter 1, I don't remember. I don't know, just a second. I didn't put the chapter, y'all. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe I just didn't put that it was chapter 1. All right, but I'm going to read the first 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And then verse 16 and 17 there. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm going to put that's chapter 1 here. All right, now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18 through 24 there. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the only way a person can get born again. A lot of people think, I can get saved anytime I want. No, I don't think so. I think there is a drawing and a wound of the Holy Spirit for that birth. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right, let's keep going here. Chapter 2 here, first 5 verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. People will look at you and say, I know they didn't do that. Men can't do it. Only God can. I want you today not to focus on yourself and your inability, but to focus within. This is why praying in the Spirit is so important, for this is how we tap into the power of God. Our hope is within, not without. Quit seeking without. Spend your time seeking from within. All right, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That power comes from within. If that were so, I'd be crocheting 24/7 and sending them to everybody I know that's sick. If that were true. And I've sent many all over the place. But there's only one the Lord had me pray over as an apostle. And y'all prayed with me. And we see this man being healed right before our eyes. I'd love to do it to others. I know others that are in dire circumstances. Terrible circumstances. But I'm thinking, the Lord chooses, not we. It's not of us. If it was of us, why would we need God? You know what I'm saying here? Okay. What did I read last?
4:7, 2 Corinthians.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What's he saying here? That kept him from taking the glory. No one likes that scripture. I hate it, actually. I hate everything about it. Because I don't like it. No one likes to suffer. But if you're going to carry the power, the flesh has got to be brought under right here. I'd rather take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. In other words, his flesh is weak, but his vessel to be used for God is strong. See, God's getting the glory. Paul didn't get the glory. God did. He was weak in the flesh, but powerful in the spirit. And he said, I want the power in the spirit. My hope is to bring those that God sends to me out of carnality and fleshliness and get them focused on the power within. This is the real Christian life. We've been sold a bill of goods at every church we've been to. Just a bunch of programs. I never got healed in any place I ever got prayed for. The only time I ever got healed is when I sought God for myself. And his power came from within. And witnessed to me by in my spirit that I was healed. And I said, thank you. All right. Ephesians 6:10. This is powerful. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the most powerful scripture. You don't even have to read the rest of it because there it is right there. That's what the armor of God is. It's not about some fleshly strength. It's about him within. And learning how to tap into that. We have no power to do anything in our flesh. All our powers are in the power of God that is within us. Even Jesus couldn't do anything independent of the Father, he said. This is to be our primary focus. Stop wasting your time on empty, fleshly pursuits. Let me say that again. Stop wasting your time on empty, fleshly pursuits. All right, a few more scriptures. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No glory, no praise goes to anybody else but the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ain't none of this without crap. It's within. That's our hope. All right, three. Pick up with verse 10, chapter 3, Philippians. This is what Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. There's the new church that God is raising up under the apostles and prophets to bring into divine order with the help of the other three fivefold ministry gifts to get the church in divine order, to be operating like Jesus operated in the earth. Right there. Okay, Colossians 1. These Colossians, Ephesians, Colossians prayers, this is what it's all about. We're going to read this one. It's Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increased in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is the inner life, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. These are powerful prayers. Brother Hagin is the one that he started using these prayers, and he started seeing an increase of the power of God in his life as a result of it. What does it do? It makes you more aware of Christ and you, the hope of glory. And you just put those worthless things that we do that seem to be religious, that don't amount to hill of beans, aside. Don't waste your breath. If you're going to use your breath, use it praying in the Holy Ghost, not in some set of confessions or rotes, unless the Lord gives you the word to speak. That's a different story. All right. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him who is head of all principality and power. Right here it says up above there, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he's in you. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're experiencing fear, it comes from the outside. It's not in you. You have power, love, and a sound mind in you. The devil is the one that brings the fear. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He did a complete work. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, this is going to come through the divine nature. That's Christ in you, not by the flesh. It is obvious that God's ways are not the ways of man. God's systems operate by his power and not manpower. Manpower are the works of the flesh. Men have tried through institutional religion to work the works of God, but at the end of the day, he will say, I don't know you. Don't know you. But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do mighty works in your name? I don't know you. Who are you? Matthew 7. Right here. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein or thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few ever figure out about the inner life and the workings of the Holy Spirit from within. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then he goes on to talk about the house on the rock or the house on the sand. Right here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. They said the people were astonished at his doctrine. Talking about the inner life, not the outer life. All right, God's healing power comes from within. The world system is from without. Do I need to say that again? God's healing power comes from within. The world system is from without. You will know them by their fruit. You will know what camp they're coming from, outside in or inside out. It is a fact that Jesus already took all sickness and disease for all time. As a Christian, it's part of your salvation benefit package. The struggle is people are sense-ruled, and if they don't see something change in the natural, they will not believe. Blessed are they that believe, even though now they don't see. For eventually they will see it, because it has been set in motion, and soon it will be seen on the outside as well. It's like planting seeds. You know, I know from church experience, and I can remember Dana being sick. She had a bad cold or something. And I remember Danny's parents, they pressured us. We were trying to believe God for her. We end up taking her to the doctor. You know, people put pressure on you because they don't know how to believe God. I'm thinking, and we didn't really know how to. We were trying even back then to do our best, but you know, from everybody around us, you know, well, you better do that, you know, this could all this bad stuff, you know. You just go, shut up. Shut up. That's where we hear from every quarter, everywhere you go. People think you're Looney Tunes when you talk this way. But it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and then to the Greek. It is. And people think you're Looney Tunes. Or you're negligent. Oh, that's child abuse. It's like planting seeds. Hebrews 11:6. When you plant a seed in the ground, do you see it immediately overnight? Do you just go put a few sprinkles of water there and the next day you got a plant? Huh? Did I say 11? 6. All right. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is now, whether it is seen or not. Now faith is. This is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it's in secret, see? It's like a seed, like Jesus going into the earth. He likened himself as when a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. But then he was raised to life. Gave us life because of it. All right. You're not waiting to be healed. When you declare it, that's when you believe it. And as you water, thank you, Lord, that it was done that day, something begins to spring up, right? Just like a seed. You're not waiting to be healed. Stop saying that. That's unbelief. Once you've prayed, it's done. It's planted. You will have a crop. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You will have a crop. Okay. Faith is now, whether you see it or not. Okay. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. What are we doing by faith? We're making a demand on that promise right there. That he already took it. He said, that's right, I did. So healing's on the way to you. The fulfillment of that is on the way to you. Stop looking for affirmation on the outside. This is where you miss it so much in faith. But rest in the fact that it's working on the inside like a seed. Take it from someone that plants flowers. Have for many years. I mean, you put it seed in the ground, and then you start seeing a little blade come up. That's the way it starts. You just keep watering it, and it's before you know it, you got a big pretty flower or whatever you planted. All right, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Like I'm telling you, quit looking and being disappointed when you don't see anything on the outside. When you have made that decree, you have planted the word in your heart, Just keep thanking God. That will water the seed, and you'll start to see. First Corinthians 9:27. Paul said here, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Didn't you say to me last night that the Lord told you to tell your body to shut up? Well, if you believe God's promise, that's all you can do. Say, shut up. I've already handled it. I don't need your input. Your input comes from in here, not out there. All right. It's up to you. You decide who will rule you. The real you is the man on the inside and not your flesh. Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart. The choice is yours, pitiful or powerful, but not both. If you're waiting on God, you're wasting your time. He has already done all he's ever going to do. It's already a completed thing. Jesus did it on the cross, finished it, sat down with the Father. The Father's resting, by the way. Jesus sat down with him. All right. Hope y'all get this today. Right here. He's already done a complete work. That means you're healing. The flesh wants to act up like a naughty child. You must put that naughty child in order. Discipline is the key here. Spirit ruled or flesh ruled, the choice is yours. In 2023, did you see this? Well, you'll get what I mean in just a minute. In 2023, the Lord gave us a catchphrase, out on top. What we saying? Focus on what is within and not that which is without. It keeps us out on top. Read two more scriptures, we'll be done. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes, redemption comes, and there's no need for that anymore. But until that day, he'll see to it if you'll keep going his way. All right, James 1:4. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Read Hebrews 4:3.
Okay.
Hebrews.
My tab's gone. Hebrews 4:3. Hebrews 4:3. Oh, yeah, it's about... let's just read all of it. For we which have delivered do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It's up to us. Yeah.